Amen. Oh, yes, praise God. Is that Leo? No, it's okay, is it? Praise God. What a great place to be this morning, yeah? Isn't it great to be, to come somewhere? There's nowhere else like it. Is there not? There's nowhere else. Where could you go and come and be completely, transformed, blessed, healed, touched, changed, revolutionized, inspired? Where could you go? Where else on a Sunday morning? I challenge anyone to tell me, where else on a Sunday morning can this go on? Can this happen? Nowhere but here in the presence of God. Amen? Because it's the presence of God that breaks the walls, that changes hearts, that turns people around, that radically radicalizes people. Amen? Amen? God is good, yeah? So I'm going to just share a word from Revelations 12, if you want to turn there. And it's just something that's been on my heart for a while. This is probably my third or fourth time coming to the book of Revelations to try and study it. And for anybody who's ever tried to study the book of Revelations, do you know what I'm talking about? It's a quite difficult book to comprehend. I've gone to old preachers with this book. I've gone to new preachers. I've gone to old school books and new school books. And it's quite difficult to break down what Revelations is saying to us, because it's not really a literal book. It's more of a kind of, it's more of what's going to happen and how it's going to happen, how John's seeing things and how different things are today and they were in his day and all that kind of stuff. So it's a whole type of a breakdown on eschatology, as they call it, or the end times. And so it's a quite difficult book to comprehend and quite difficult book to understand until we come to 12. Okay? Until we come to chapter 12. Because chapter 12 and the verses I'm about to read out is something that's called, it's absolutes. This is reality. I'm telling you, I'm going to share something this morning. I'm going to be brave here now, right? I'm going to be very brave here. This is on tape. I don't care. I'm going to be very brave here this morning that this will change your life. I'm not ashamed to say that about the Word of God. It can change your life. Change it. You can walk out here completely different than you walked in. What an amazing place to be in, isn't it? What a claim to make, you know? This word can change your life. If you grab it, if you take hold of it, if you have an ear to hear this, this can change your life, because the Bible is telling us something that's absolute. That's truth. And the truth will set you free, but it's how you comprehend the truth. It's how you take it in. It's what you believe in, and the challenge is thrown out to you. I'm going to talk about the blood of the Lamb, and I'm going to talk about the word of your testimony. Two things that will change your life radically. And that's what it's about. It's an absolute. It's God speaking to us. And that's what I got out of that when I was studying this, that the whole central theme of Revelations is about that Jesus is victorious. He's going to win. It's put there. He's going to win. The accuser's going to be thrown down. And it's all about grabbing that in your life, that as a Christian, I have that hope that I am in the victorious place. I am more than a conqueror. I have the victory. Why? Because that Jesus brings the victory into our lives. Amen. So let's look at it. From verse 11. It says, now I have come, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of Christ, for the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hauled down. They, and underline this, they overcame him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, there's two parts of this. There's the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, but also there's the promise, or there's the absolute. They overcame. It's not they might overcome. It's not in the future they will overcome. It's not if they do this, they'll overcome. They overcame. They overcame. They won. They got the victory. It's over. It's done. It's done and dusted. This is a promise of God, because the blood is so powerful. It's so powerful that the promise is, and the confidence that's in it, is that you overcome. And it says that there's an accuser. Now, again, I always ask people to try and always come to the Word of God with a fine measure of faith and a fine measure of understanding, because this is opposite. It's opposite to what we try and understand as human beings. Now, very first, you have to try and understand this, especially when you walk through that. This is for Christians, non-Christians, or wherever. When you walk through them doors, I'm going to be very, very honest. When you walk through them doors, there's a resistance in every human being for the Word of God. I don't care if you're born again 20 years or if you're born again last night. There is a resistance in all of us for the Word of God. There is a resistance for the truth. The Bible says that we are natural God haters. It's in our nature not to like God or want God or anything to do with God. I remember when I first came into church years ago, up on Thomas Street, Peter Finch's name was mentioned, was the pastor of that church, and a place called Teen Challenge shared a bit of their church with Teen Challenge. And Teen Challenge Ireland was trying to get off the ground. And I'll never forget, I've shared this a lot of times in here. I thought I was going into an absolute headbanger's place. I said to myself, this is what I said. I was sitting there, there were 60 people there, crammed into a room up on Thomas Street. Sharon will remember the church. There is hope written on the wall. I can remember as clear as crystal, 20 odd years ago. And I was in a room, you know what I mean? And they brought out the church at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I said to myself, but these people are trying to help me here. And they're trying to help all these people as well. We're all mad. Because that's the first impression. These people are crazy. They're crazy. They're nuts. They were standing up on the chairs. They were running up and down the aisles. There was a fella standing at the pulpit, banging it with his fist. Jesus loves you. I said, that mad bus is out there dropping all these people off here. Oh, you have to stay here. I was down on the back of it saying the rosary. Because I thought, that's what you do when you go to church, you say the rosary. Didn't even know how to say the rosary. And I was praying to me, Dad, now get me out of here. What did I do to deserve this? I'm sorry. But the thing was that darkness hates the light. And when darkness goes into the light, darkness gets very cynical. It starts blaming things. It starts seeing the peculiarness of it. Because the light is very peculiar. Very strange place to be in. When you go into a place and it's full of hope and the presence of God is there and people are genuinely interested in each other and people are genuinely for each other and people are making mad claims like going free and people are making mad things like, yeah, no, I have the victory. And when you hear all this, you're naturally, in your nature, as God haters, we come against that. And it's saying that in Revelation 12, that there is an accuser. There's one that accuses you. Accuses us day and night. And I often wondered about that. I often thought, it says you have to, again, come with this with a measure of faith. It says Satan, the accuser of the brethren. But what's in every person and what's in all of our makeup is there's an accusation. You're not good enough. You, what do you think you're doing? When I walked into the presence of God first, I thought I was that size. What are you doing here? What have you got with these people? Why would you be here? Who do you think you are? And it was like a microphone was put in my ear. And I felt so uncomfortable in that church, I couldn't wait to get out of it. I couldn't stand it. Because the accusations got louder and louder. You're no good. And all of a sudden, the list was brought out of all my sin. It's like a scroll was thrown out in front of me. What are you doing here? If they knew what you're all about, if they knew who you are, and I felt, I wanted to run. I felt, what am I doing here? I felt comfortable around other sinners. I felt comfortable. God, I'm going to say this is mad. I felt comfortable around people who hated me. I felt comfortable around people who were slagging me and didn't like me. I felt comfortable around them people because I knew the reality of the situation. I didn't feel comfortable around people that were saying they loved me. I didn't feel comfortable around that. I remember being in Teen Challenge and the pastor was in Teen Challenge and he was out there trying to help me and I was in bits. And at the end of the counseling session, he stood up and he hugged me. Give me a big hug. And the cynicism broke out within me. What's this man want? What's he after? trying to get out of me. The cynicism broke out. The accuser was there, right in the middle. What's he want? What's he doing to you? Don't let him do that. Don't let man hug you. Don't let man tell you you're loved. There's an accuser, guys. There's an accuser out there, and he's always out to get you. And all he's doing, you know what the reality is? All he's doing is saying truths that are in your life. He's not telling lies. He's the father of lies, but in this situation, he's not telling lies. He's just telling truths about your life. He's exposing you. He's just telling truths. He's saying to you about your past. What are you doing? So your dad never loved you. Why do you think you have a place in here? You never didn't have a place in your home. Your father doesn't love you. Your mother rejected you. What are you doing? What do you think you're doing? And he could be telling the truth. He could be telling the reality. But it's an accusation. It's against you. And he says, why? You expect to be part of this community and your own father didn't want you? Sit down. Shut up. What do you think you're doing? How dare you? And I have to say, in my own personal life, it was like a megaphone in my life. Every time I took a step forward, what do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? And there's an accusation about your past. There's an accusation there about your past. Look at all the wrong decisions you made. Look at all the mistakes you made. Look at everything you've done wrong. Look at the mess you've made of that. Look at where your situation is now. And them accusations, there's an accuser of the brethren. He accuses us day and night, exposes all the shortcomings of us. He comes against us day and night, it says here. It doesn't say 12:30 on a Monday afternoon. It says day and night, because it's in you day and night. It's part of you. It's in you. That's your heritage. That's your life. That's your memories. They're your memories. They're the reality. That's what happened. It could be failed marriages. It could be failed jobs. It could be failed businesses. It could be whatever that's constantly at you. Why didn't you do that right? Why didn't you get that wrong? If only, if only, if only. I used to live in daydreams. I used to daydream before I come to know the Lord. I used to daydream about just having a normal life. I used to daydream about having a normal home, having a normal family. Daydream about it. And then the daydream is over and the accusation rises back up again. But it's not true. Look at the mess that you live in. That's your fault. I might have been working for the last 6 months in one of the busiest hostels in Ireland. And we all have heard about Apollo House and all that kind of stuff. Well, I've walked over across the road there in Thomas Street, one of the busiest hostels in Ireland, 101 beds. And it's the free phone, so it's where everybody that can't get a bed goes there. So you can imagine. And you see it all the time, people trying to quieten that accuser, trying to shut him up. And you go to the world with it. You go to what the world has to offer. You go to the drugs and the drink. You go to live in the doorway. You go to whatever it can take just to quieten that voice. And then you sit there and you talk to them for more than 5 minutes and the accusations start coming out. Well, it's because of this and well of that. And sure, I can't do that because of this. And because, well, it wouldn't be. And I can't do that. And boom, 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 boom. And as you see it all the time, people trying to escape from the accuser. People trying to run away. But it constantly catches up. It constantly gets them at the end. But you know what, guys? The Bible says that we can overcome. Not we might overcome. It says they overcame the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb. What a hope. I'm telling you, this will change your life. This will change your life. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. How? And he said to me, how, Lord, what does this mean? Give me something here. They overcame because the blood of the Lamb is mine. God gave me everything. His everything. Can you get that? If you have an accuser, an accusation, if you have a shortcoming, if you have a problem, if you have something that man has done to you or man didn't do to you, If you have something that man has said over you, if you have something that you're saying over yourself, if you have an inadequacy, if you have an accusation about your life, I'm telling you, what can be God giving you his son? How much more is that? What more in life can you ask that? God gave you his son. So I don't care what man has done or not done, because God gave me everything. He gave me everything, and so that quietens and shuts that up. I remember Noel preaching a sermon years ago about the pauper spirit and about the orphan spirit. I tell you, that changed my life that day. Because he said that we go back to our past and we ask men to give us what they can't give us. And we constantly go back. We look back in anger. And we're asking men to give us something that they can't give us. And I look at my own life and people are asking me, and I can't give it to them. And so I look back at my past, and I said, I'm asking all these things of all these people. I remember being in Teen Challenge getting counseling, and said this a few times, but it's real, and it's in the context of what I'm trying to say here this morning, that I go in counseling, and you'd always have someone to blame. And the accusation is fueled by men and women's inadequacy in my life. So that gives me the excuse to go and do what I'm doing, because it's their fault. If only they. And we think we have this sense of entitlement that we should have the most perfect parents that ever lived. We have this mad sense of entitlement that I'm entitled to have an absolute perfect mother and father, perfect life, perfect education, perfect, perfect, perfect. And if we don't get it then, we have the blame game. Well, it's their fault, really. And the counselor would say to me, right, Eddie, who are we blaming today now? Who's our fault? And I'd be scraping the barrel going, well, it's a GAA teacher. He didn't pick me for that game. And then dirty. I'd be scraping the barrel looking for people to blame. Until one day I got the breakthrough and I come back to me and said, no, it's me. It's me. I need to look at me. There's an accuser in my life, and I seen it for the first time that it was all lies. It was all lies. How can I expect anyone to give me? I have no entitlement to anything. I need to look after my own life and work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. And take my eyes off other people. Even though the damage that they've done. But they've done it out of their own brokenness. Their own inadequacies. They couldn't do it. They need Jesus themselves. They have an accuser in their own lives. How can they barely look after themselves? No matter looking after me. And so I was afraid. Afraid to let them go. Afraid to forgive. The blood started to work its power. The blood started to get in there and set me free. And I started to overcome. I'm now an overcomer. By the blood. Are you getting this? I'm now an overcomer. No longer looking back for excuses. I'm an overcomer. Why? Because I have in my life everything that God had is now mine. He gave, the Bible says in Revelations that John says, "Where who's worthy?" This is, you read Revelations and see, who's worthy? And the cry went out to heaven and it says it went out to hell. In other words, there was no place it didn't go to. The cry went out and no one could be found. In the whole of heaven and earth, in all of God's marvelous creation, nobody could be found. And John fell to his knees and he wept that no one could be found. And then there was one found. And it was Jesus. The only one. I have him. My Father in heaven, the perfect Father, gave me everything. So we don't need to look at back. Don't need to look at man. I don't need to look at what I didn't have. I have everything. I have his blood. The blood puts it all in a heavenly place. I went to the very top of the mountain that the world could offer. Whatever, drugs and drink, I went to the very top of the mountain, the best that it could offer. And you know what I found out? It wasn't even top of the mountain. It was down in the guts of nothing. But when I went to Jesus, I went to the top of the mountain. Because only him Only Him, only Jesus can set you free. His blood is so valuable, it's so precious, it's so powerful that we overcome. We overcome the accuser. He has nothing to say against it. Every time He says to you, put your hands down. Don't want people looking at you. Blood of the Lamb. Hands are going up. Who do you think you are getting up here and talking? Shut your mouth. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. I have the King of Heaven. I have a right to get up here and talk because of the blood of the Lamb. I have a right to go over that job because the blood of the Lamb is with me. God is with me. Man is against me, but God is with me. I have a right to rear my kids up. Why? Because God is with me. I have a right to stay there and be loyal. Why? Because God is with me. A lot of people run because they don't think they're worthy. I'm worthy, not because of that I've done or that the man didn't do, because of the blood. Shut your mouth. Isn't that life changing? Sort of simple, but radical. Part two. And this is very important. It's two parts to this now. I want two parts. Are we ready? They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and massive word there. If you're a studier of the Bible, it's a massive word there. It's huge. This is a huge word. It's three letters, but it's huge. And the word of their testimony. It goes to two parts. Because your testimony, like it, but the word testimony means to give an account of something. So if I was out there and someone got a bang of a car, or two cars crashed, and I seen it, and the police were called, they'd ask me to give a testimony about what happened. So it's my version of what happened. Whether it's the truth or whether it's lies, is my version. My testimony, I'm responsible. I'm responsible to give an account. So a testimony is your testimony, not all our testimonies together. I guarantee you, right, if 10 people seen the same accident out there, there'd be 10 different accounts. So those 10 people are responsible for their account. Whatever's the truth, but it's their account of it. And this is really where it hits the ground. When you leave here this morning, I'll start with this. First of all, I'll start with this. I've been here around a long time. I've seen people sitting under the Word of God, seeing miracles in front of them. Seeing people in front of them, their lives changed. I've seen crazy armed robbers turn their lives around and be afraid to rob a penny of an office. I've seen the most violent men and have a most violent past turn into little lambs in front of me. Gentle, lovely human beings that will do anything for you. I've seen God doing that in front of me. And other people have seen, I've seen people that have sat under the Word of God and seen all that. And I've said to themselves at the end of it, months later, it's interesting for a while, but I need to get on with my life now. And that's their testimony. That's their testimony. I've seen it. If it works for you, I hate that statement. I hate that. I remember my family used to come to me and say that. If it works for you, in other words, you're mad. That's the hidden statement. If it works for you, if it works for you, and that's their testimony. But I said it to, I remember saying it to my family. I remember saying it to other people. I said, but you knew what I was like before this, and you come out with that statement. You come out with that statement. You know what I was like. That's testimony for you is worse than anyone else because you know what I was like. And you come up with a statement like, well, if it works for you, but what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? What's happening in front of you? What are you saying? That's the best you can come up with if it works for him. Has a miracle not happened? No, not really. No, not really. Stroke of luck. Or you get people that say, well, we get other people that say, well, we sent you up there. and we gave you €20 for the bus. So that's what happened to you. So it's back to us again. I looked after you. You didn't. You're back. So I look after anybody. And that's what they come up with. They come up with those mad snakes. But that's their testimony. That's their testimony. And when you come in here this morning and you hear me preaching this word of God and telling you about the blood of the Lamb and overcoming, you are starting now in your very heart forming a testimony. And it's what the testimony says to you will be the fruit of your freedom, the level of your freedom. You can walk in here, hear an amazing guy preaching, and you can hear miracles, and you can hear words, and you can hear all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't mean a hill of beans unless you form a testimony around it. Because everything will be forgot about by the time you get to the roundabout or the traffic lights at the end there. And there's no overcoming. And there's no freedom. There's no breakthrough. It's just you're back to the same old. Back to the same old revolving door of all these accusations. The accusations aren't being overcome at all. And you go back to trying to work it out in the way the world works it out. And the only way that this can have any fruit in our lives and be real is by the word of your testimony. So what's the word of our testimony? Well, we must go away from here saying, the blood of the Lamb heals me. The blood of the Lamb sets me free. I'm believing what that guy said. It's the blood of the Lamb. And there's a testimony. I'm not saying to go and knock doors and tell everyone, the blood of the Lamb sets me free. I'm just saying your own testimony to yourself. The blood of the Lamb sets me free. And every time the doubt comes in and every time people start making them accusations, no, I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. I'm healed. I'm set free. And all of a sudden, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of what you say about it and what you believe. You walk out of here with full of doubt and all again and still going, no. Look, I remember being, there's a couple of lads from Tiglin here, and they'll get a giggle out of this. In Tiglin, our teen challenge, there's a thing called Phase 3. Right? It's a Phase 3 weekend, it's called. Your first weekend after a long time. And you come under a lot of teaching and you come under a lot of things. No, I'm saying about myself as well. And many guys that I've dealt with over the years, and myself as well, but many guys that I've dealt with over the years, they come under this, they get this sense of, it's like this puffed up sense of themselves, okay? They've been in the gym, their arms are out like Arnold Schwarzenegger, they're lifting all these heavy weights, you know what I mean? They're doing all this, and they get this puffed up sense of themselves, and they're eating everything around them, they put on all the weight. You know, they got their arse back and they got their teeth back and everything's going great. And all of a sudden then, they think to themselves, right, in my Phase 3 weekend, I'm going home to sort out my family. They're going to respect me now. They're going to embrace me. They're going to love me. They're going to want me. They're going to cherish me. Because they feel that they have a sense of entitlement. Because of the outward stuff. And I try and say to them, now, hold on, I need to think about that and wait for a minute. No. I'm going home here now to fix all these people. They're all the problem and they need to be fixed. So my dad's going to absolutely respect me. Going to treat me with absolute respect. He's going to honor me. The family is going to almost genuflect when I walk into the house. I just started talking about myself as well. And so they come home, they go home for the weekend out. And I'm saying, are you sure you want to go back into your ma's home for your weekend? Would you not just come in for an hour? No. No, no, I'm there. Watch this. And they go in, and they find out very, very quickly. They find out very, very quickly that the absolute opposite happens. Who do you think you are coming in here preaching to us? Oh, look at him. He's all uppity on himself now. He's up in that place. What do you think he is? Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about that. Let me tell you. And they come home the weekend on a Sunday night in an absolute hula hoop. And they want to break the place up. And they want to leave. And they want to go and kill someone. Because they find out very, very quickly that man is man. And man will always be man. Always be man. A man will always let you down and always fail you. And you should never put that pressure on man to be God. The only one that won't fail you is the blood of the Lamb. Oh, you have absolute supreme confidence in the blood of the Lamb. I don't have confidence in men. The Bible says, cursed is the man who has confidence in men, but blessed is the man who goes to God. I don't have confidence in men. I don't have confidence in my wife. I don't have confidence in my kids. I don't have confidence in men. My joy is in the Lord. It's the blood of the Lamb always. Never fails me. Never, ever, ever, ever fails me. Man will fail me. But the blood of the Lamb, I'm an overcomer. But some people will leave here this morning and go back to man. Go back to man. They want man to sort them out. Or they want man to be impressed. Are they living out of that place? How good I am. How blessed I am. You know, they live out of all that place. And I tell you, it's just a merry-go-round. The true freedom is in the blood of the Lamb. It shuts that accuser up. It shuts him up. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we bless you, Lord. You want to worship team, want to come back? Simon. Listen, I'm going to put out an altar call here this morning, because you know what it says here? It says the brothers. In other words, that this is not just for people that don't know the Lord. It's people in the Lord. And when I walked in here first this morning, and it was the same out in Bray last week, and Philip Brown will tell you, that the Lord put it on my heart about a religious spirit. And we need to come against that. There's a religious spirit in here that says that we must earn and we must get God to love us. I remember when I was first a Christian and I lived out of that place for years, never good enough, never holy enough. I prayed out of a motivation to get God to love me. I used to treat God like a rabbit's foot, a lucky rabbit's foot. And if I go to God now, he'll look after me. And if I pray now for 14 hours a week and read half the Bible, God will humanize him. God will embrace me, or God will accept me, or God will respect me. And it wasn't for a long time that God broke that religious spirit in my life. That it's nothing, only the blood of the Lamb. Nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. What you do or what you don't do. It's the blood of the Lamb. But there's a religious spirit in here that says, I'm not good enough. That I need to do this and do that to get God to love me or accept me. That God couldn't possibly set me free. That I'm not good enough. That there's no power on this earth that's going to set me free. You don't know my sins. It's the famous one. And that's foundations in a religious spirit. If you make a statement like that, you don't know what I've done. That's a religious spirit. That's a spirit that's coming against you and accusing you. You don't know what I've done. Or you don't know what I don't do. There's another religious spirit. You don't know what I don't do. But God wants to break that. God wants, the only thing that can break that is the blood. That accusation that you're not good enough. That you could never be good enough. That you can never come up here and share. That you can't be part of the worship team. That you can't be part of the prayer group. That you can't speak the word of God in your own home. A woman came up to me last week for prayer and she says, I can't even speak the word of God in my own home. Because she felt she wasn't good enough. She felt she hadn't the right religious spirit. It's horrible. But the blood of the Lamb can set us free. I want to open up the floor to people who want to come for prayer. To break these accusations, to break these things, to break all these things that come against you. When you woke up this morning, what was in your mind? Do you feel inadequate? Do you feel always confused? Do you feel there's always something chasing you? Do you feel that you're never strong enough, good enough, or worthy enough? Well, if you do, we'll shut that accusation up. And we put it to the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Praise God.